Hello. Thank you for joining us today on the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. During the kingdom of God, it will be evident to all that there is righteousness through the act of creation. During this future time, it will also be evident to all that righteousness is with the Creator and not the creation. What God creates can be summarized as peace, and Paul contrasted that to confusion. He told the Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and used that understanding to teach them of the need to not allow confusion to be part of their religious gatherings. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. In the beginning, we are told that God created the heavens and the earth, and then are told that the earth was without form and void, and that darkness was upon the face of the earth. Let's read Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When we are told that the earth was without form, we are being told the earth was in a confused form. That's what the Hebrew implies. Because God is not the author of confusion but of peace, we know that God did not create that confusion. We believe that confusion of verse 2 came about as a result of Satan's rebellion, and that what God created in verse 1 was a display of the righteousness of God through creation. When God created mankind to be in the image and likeness of God, God knew from the very beginning that he intended for people to develop righteousness that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. God also gave people dominion over every living thing on earth. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. From the time of the Garden of Eden, when God first presented mankind with a choice between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind has chosen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the present world, all that is known as good has a link in some way to what is evil. Because thousands of years ago, a choice was made to link the knowledge of good to evil. Without the Holy Spirit, mankind cannot know good that is not linked to evil in some way. Even though mankind was explicitly told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Since that time, mankind has been on a downward spiral. Imagine how different it will be in the kingdom of God when righteousness that leads to eternal life is known. No more will good be contrasted to evil, as the righteousness that leads to eternal life transcends what mankind knows about good. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. When we see any act of evil in the present world, we know that in the kingdom of God, evil will be banished. And today, what we know as good, because today it is contrasted to evil, will be replaced by that which leads to eternal life. Through God's creation of people, there is this hope of eternal life that we know about. And coupled to this hope is this expectation of future righteousness that comes through God. It was through Jesus Christ that God created all things, and through Jesus Christ is a scepter of righteousness. Jesus Christ, who embodies righteousness through and through, also through righteousness created mankind and nature as we know it. The same Jesus Christ who hates iniquity laid the foundation of the earth while the heavens reflect the work of his hand. What today we hope for as the kingdom of God and eternal life is a future reality waiting to happen. And this future kingdom of God will be a time reflecting the righteousness of God our Father and Jesus Christ. Unlike today, the self-righteousness of men will have no influence on the kingdom. Hebrews 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Without faith, we cannot accept that what we know as our world and universe was framed by God. Without faith, we will ascribe the realities of our world and universe to just about anything else except who embodies righteousness. We have this hope for things not yet seen, such as the kingdom of God and eternal life. And unlike so many others, we know God our Father and Jesus Christ brought our world and universe into existence. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Righteousness through an act of creation was available to Adam and Eve, because they could have chosen of the tree of life. Instead, they chose of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As we look forward to the kingdom of God, we know what is known as good and evil will fade away as what is righteousness through the tree of life heals the nations. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Paul reminded the Romans that what can be seen with our eyes physically confirms what is spiritual. And righteousness, as it is a part of who God our Father and Jesus Christ are, should be evident by what is seen with our eyes. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God, our Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and moved us to the kingdom of his dear Son through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, all things were created, and Jesus will be head of the church and body. It is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ we have this hope of eternal life that for us is also focused on the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All things that we see in nature were created by Jesus Christ. Everything we know about nature reflects righteousness because it was created by Jesus Christ, who is righteous. Righteousness does not create unrighteousness. Yet when those who are not called look at nature, they rarely see righteousness and reduce everything to natural selection. Imagine how different people will be when everything in nature is recognized to be linked to righteous Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Job explained that even if people generally do not understand creation at the hand of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, the animals and land do understand. For all except mankind, it is evident that what was created was at the hand of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, and flowing from righteousness. Job 12, verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto you. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? The Psalms tell us of the righteousness of God, and how we should rejoice in God. It is God who loves righteousness and judgment. How the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, knowing that what God does is right and done in truth. Today we don't have that confidence in our government that what is done right and done in truth. Confidence in the kingdom of God will be much different. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. God has been our rock for many generations, and even before the mountains were formed and the world created, God has lived in eternity. God wants people to return to Him. For all who are not called during the present age, this future kingdom of God will be a time for people to return to God. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. We know that heaven and earth were divinely made, that God wants to preserve us from evil. We look to God as the source of our strength and help, knowing that God's help is linked to righteousness. Imagine how different it will be in the kingdom of God when there will not be a focus on preserving people from evil, because the influence of evil is gone. In the kingdom of God, righteousness will be the sole remaining influencer. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, knowing that God was on the side of Israel. It was God who delivered the people from those who were predatory. Imagine the kingdom of God, which will have no predators as we know them today. And imagine a world where people do not have the worries of today. That will also be the kingdom of God. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of our Lord who made heaven and earth. Everything that God does is done in righteousness. Every season, every time, every purpose in heaven, everything is beautiful in its time. Imagine when it is time for the kingdom of God on earth. God's creation, which began thousands of years ago through an act of creation, will come to an end through the realization of righteousness during the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The book of Revelation provides a glimpse into the heavenly throne. And in this particular vision, out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunder, and voices. Burning before the throne were seven lamps of God representing the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, and surrounding the throne were four beasts that looked like a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle. These beasts continuously praised God. Also present were the 24 elders who praised God, making note that all things were created by God. Through the righteousness of God, all things were created. And through the righteousness of God, there is glory, honor, and power for God. as we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, looking forward to the kingdom of God, we also reflect that it is through the righteousness of God that everything we know as part of the natural world around us was created through the righteousness of God. Revelation 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who live forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Jeremiah wrote that there is none like God, who is great, who is king of the nations, for whom there is no equal among the people of earth. God is the everlasting king, who can rightly tell the nations that there is no other God, with a small g, that has made the heavens and earth. The earth was made through the power of God, and heaven was established through God's direction. In all that God does, righteousness defines what God does. When we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and we look forward to the kingdom of God, we also celebrate the everlasting king that Jeremiah wrote about. Jeremiah 10, verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the works of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Later in Jeremiah, the prophet wrote how that God made heaven and earth, and how nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah also described how God shows loving kindness to many while repaying iniquity. He also showed how God gives to every person according to what they do. As we keep this Feast of Tabernacles, we look forward to the kingdom of God, when the blessings of living God's way of life will be so very easy to see, knowing that God, who made heaven and earth, will give every person according to what they do. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Isaiah writes of God as the creator of the ends of the earth, who is never weary nor faints. He also described how those who wait on God will renew their strength, being as swift as eagles, never wearying, never fainting. Those who endure to the end, who wait for God, will be part of the kingdom of God. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, describing God as of whom are all things, and Jesus Christ as by whom are all things. There is no denying that God created all things by Jesus Christ. What God created thousands of years ago with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was created through the righteousness of God. We celebrate the righteousness of God as we look forward to the kingdom of God during this Feast of Tabernacles. We know that among the final acts of creation will be at the return of Jesus Christ and our transformation into spirit when God's righteousness is created in us in the fullness of the Spirit at our transformation. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Paul makes this clear in his second letter to the Corinthians, showing how in Jesus Christ we are all a new creation with our former life passed away. We are that new creation today and await our transformation into spirit at the return of Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ is returning to establish the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore hence know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. just like we did not bring about our human birth, we will not bring about our spiritual birth. We have a God who is rich in mercy, and there is only a need to have mercy when a person is in need of mercy. And we all need that mercy. There is nothing we could do after being called to erase our sinful life before we were called. And yet, God does that for us. We are saved by grace through faith. And we will realize that saving grace at the return of Jesus Christ. When we are changed to spirit at the return of Jesus, at the establishment of the kingdom of God, that won't be because of anything we have done, but because of grace that saves us through faith, knowing that who we are spiritually becoming is a reflection of the workmanship of God and Jesus Christ, knowing we are created in Jesus Christ for good works, so that we walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Between this Feast of Tabernacles, which looks forward to the kingdom of God, and the time when the kingdom of God is established on earth, all that happens in our life is an opportunity for God and Jesus Christ to display their workmanship in us as we are created to do good works. The times in which we live are not the kingdom of God, and we experience hardships and difficulties. We can't let those hardships and difficulties take our focus away from what we will have in the kingdom of God. We still wait for one of those later acts of creation when our physical bodies become spiritual. As we have this hope for the kingdom to come, when we look around the world and see the troubles this world has, even though this world doesn't yet realize it, this world desperately wants the peace that will come through the kingdom of God. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Until we come to that future time when our physical bodies become spirit, The Holy Spirit helps us and others who are called according to the will of God. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, even when we don't fully understand how good can come out of a situation. We also know that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, and that God is calling people around this world to join Jesus Christ during a time we think of as the kingdom of God, which we celebrate during this Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We take comfort knowing that if God is for us, no person can successfully be against us, because nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 31. What shall then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we are with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, when our bodies are changed from physical to spiritual, this will be at a time of one of the final acts of creation, where the righteousness of God is seen through an act of creation, except at that time, this act of creation will reveal the righteousness of God in each of us. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow again during the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.